Hey everybody, welcome back to Through the Valley, a podcast where we explore mental health suffering from a Christian worldview. Also, we get to hear about people's stories through the valley, and that's what we're going to do today with our guest, Vontrez Roberts. So I've gotten to know Trez by working on the campus of Wingate University. He's one of the students in our ministry, and so I'm really glad to have you on the podcast. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Trez?
So, like Cole said, I'm Vontrez Roberts. I grew up in Augusta, Georgia, and I grew up in a Christian household, which is great. I'm currently a senior, so I'm about to graduate soon, and I play basketball for Wingate. So,
you're a senior, but you have one more year on the court.
One more year, right? Of eligibility, yes. And yep. I'll be getting my grad and master's of public health, so that's good.
Yeah, Trez has been awesome just in the ministry, but I wanted to have him on today because he just wants to share his story about his experience with depression and even some anxiety, and even the past year, kind of just some things that you've been walking through. But as always on the podcast, always, if I have a guest, I'd love to ask about just some scripture that either has been impactful in your life or something recently that God's been speaking to you. So do you have something you'd like to share?
Yeah. It's John 15, verse 4. It says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." And so basically what it's saying is, like, Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. So apart from him, we can't do anything. So we always have to be in the word daily, picking up our cross and following him daily. So that's good. I love that verse. It's been on my mind for, like, the past probably 2 years, ever since I first, like, opened the Bible back up and started reading John. So it's very impactful.
Yeah, I love that because it's about relationship. It's like, you know, he gives us nourishment, he gives us strength, and by abiding, I think that word literally means, like, remain in him. So, like, stay close. Yeah, that's good, because we can't do, like you said, you can't do anything
apart from
him
at all.
Yeah, I'm sure we're gonna see that kind of through your story as well. So why don't you just open up and kind of tell us, you can start wherever you want, but just your experience with mental health, maybe when it first began, or a specific time where it was tough for you, and kind of how you were processing that.
Yeah, so it started around, what I say, around this time last year, like January of 2022. That's when it actually started. I had got COVID. And they put me in, like, housing, COVID housing at school. And then I was like, man, what is going on, you know? I was like, why am I feeling like this? I was having, like, the chills, and I was getting, like, heat waves and all of that stuff. It was just bad. And then in my mind, I was like, okay, well, I need to go to sin. Because at that moment, I was, like, still living in sin. I was like, okay, I need to try to smoke weed to make this feel better, you know? And then I was trying to go away from God. And then when I did that, it just made it worse. And I was like, bro, what is going on? So I just gave everything away. I was like, I'm stopping all of this. You know, I'm giving my life to God. And so, like, I surrendered my life to him, re-surrendered my life to him. I was like, yeah, I'm not living like this. I don't want this. I don't want to live like this. I don't want to go to hell. And so, like, after that, like, just in that moment when I was still in COVID housing, like, it was just so depressing because I was just away from everything. And then I couldn't play basketball. And then I just felt weak. Like, I felt so weak. And then after I got out of COVID housing, everything just got worse. Like, I started getting anxiety. It was days where I couldn't even play in basketball games because my anxiety was so bad.
Really?
I'd just be sitting on the bench and, like, just having panic attacks. Like, everything even going fast. Like, the noise, it just made my heart beat fast. And it was just crazy, just struggling going through that. I was having suicidal thoughts. Like, it was times I didn't go to class. I think that last semester, like, to be honest, I made all D's because I just stopped going to class. So I was that depressed, that anxious. Like, I was so anxious, I didn't want to step outside. Like, that's how bad it was. I just wanted to stay in my bed. And I even tried going to, like, counseling and stuff like that. And nothing helped. Like, I tried going everywhere else but God. And then I was like, I need to open my Bible back up. But, like, that was just some of the stuff I was dealing with when I was going through that. And it happened around, like, last year, around this time. So, yeah.
It's been a little over a year ago. So, in your mind, you know, for the students that got COVID, they would put them in you call it COVID
housing. Yep.
And you're basically quarantined. They would bring food to you, is what I.
Yep. You can't leave or nothing. It's like you're in prison. Basically.
Yeah.
Like, basically, that's what it is.
Isolating. So, I guess when you're looking at that, do you know, like, maybe factors that caused your depression or that anxiety, or mm-hmm. Are you just even still trying to understand why
it happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like one of the actual factors was weed, because they said that can cause anxiety. At that time, I didn't know. And it was just so bad. I used to do that almost every day. And I feel like that was a big part of why it caused anxiety. And another reason why is because I just wasn't in the Word, and the enemy was attacking me, because all of that started happening right when I started back getting into the Word.
Really?
Right when I started back resurrendering my life to God, actually going to church and reading my Bible daily, I just got attacked heavily with anxiety and all of that stuff. So that can be another one too, just spiritual warfare and just some of the things like weed and stuff, some of the things I was doing. But I still be thinking about it today, if it was weed, and it probably was, and it probably was both, which I think it is, you know. But yeah, that was spiritual warfare. It was just so bad. Once I started reading the Bible again, the enemy just attacked me with that. And I never dealt with anything like that before, suicidal thoughts, anxiety, or depression, you know. So that scared me. Yeah, I was I was having doubts. I was like, why am I going through this? What is going on? I was really questioning God, and I was just questioning my faith. Is God going to make me go through this? In Job, in a sense, you know, when he was just asking God these questions, and I felt like Job at the time. I was going through that affliction. I was God is nowhere near me. He just watching me go through this. I was telling myself that it was it. This is how it's going to be for the rest of my life. Mm. I'm never going to see happiness, joy, or nothing. It was that hard. And I was in the bottomless pit, literally. And then God just saved me. He just picked me up. And even in that time, when I look back, I could see God moving, just looking back. In that moment when I was going through that, I didn't notice. But now, I'm noticing a lot, because when that happened, that's when I started going to ProVision. I started coming to Bible studies. Mm-hmm. And then I started going FCA and getting plugged into the church. God was separating me from so many people that didn't need to be in my life, and was placing me around brothers and sisters in Christ. And I didn't know that at the time, but looking back on it, he was there all the time, the whole time. And that's how maybe we may think that he's not there, and the whole time he is there. We just got to be still and set aside our ways and acknowledge him. So
yeah, I remember for me, I got saved in 2014, but a few months later, I started experiencing ways of depression, and then that fall it was really bad. I was actually in a behavior hospital, which I actually share about that on the very first episode on the podcast. But it was confusing for me, because it was I had all this change happening, good change, and then not that every single time you experience depression or anxiety that's an attack from the enemy. Yeah, you know, it might be some of our personalities are different, but there is a spiritual element to that.
Yeah.
You know, the doubts you're having, the questions,
all of that.
And when you're going through that, like you said, you're in the pit, you feel like you can never get out.
You feel like
it really feels like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, that was last year, man. I remember you started coming to the Bible studies, and it's crazy. I didn't even know you were going through all that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's you can't see that on the outside.
You can't.
So kind of walking through that, you said God saved you and kind of picked you up out of that. Mm-hmm. Was there a specific moment, or was it more of a process?
It was
kind of getting out of that.
Yeah, it was more of a process, because the closer I started getting to God, you know, the more and more I started realizing the schemes of the enemy, if that makes sense. Because when I was going through that, a lot of times I was wait a minute, you know, he tells us to take our thoughts captive. And I was let me actually figure out what am I thinking about? That's the good. Enemy doesn't have control over me at all. You know, God does. And like you said, them doubts and stuff, that just comes from the enemy, because he know how powerful God is, and he know how powerful God's people are. So I was let me actually sit down and think. And it was a process, because as I started getting closer and closer to God, I started experiencing joy and happiness, because, you know, our joy is complete. And so, the closer I was getting, I could still feel the world and still trying to bring me back. The enemy still trying to put those doubts in my mind and stuff. But it was an ongoing process. And I think it actually clicked over the last summer when I went to FCA camp and just a Young Life camp. Just being at the Young Life camp was just sweet, because we had no technology, no phone. We was actually just being intimate and with one another, and fellowship and all of that. And I feel like that's when it clicked, because I heard a lot of people's story, and I felt like I was alone at the time. And just hearing all of their testimonies, a lot of them went through things worse than I did. And I was like, wow. And so just seeing how God just saved all of us and moved through all of us, and seeing like how there is like, you know, happiness, like everything is temporary. So that's when it actually clicked. I was like, man, like God does have a plan for me. Like I'm like meant to be here for something, because the enemy was trying to throw all of that in my head, like trying to get me to take my life, trying to make me feel like I was worthless. And no, like God like made us uniquely. Like we all have our own gifts, like we were just talking about yesterday. So it was just an ongoing process, just realizing that. And I had to learn how to like just see how God like sees me, you know. And also at that time, like I just felt nothing when I was going through all of that depression, anxiety. Like I just turned, like it felt like I just turned all my feelings off. Like I couldn't feel nothing.
Yeah,
like love.
Yeah.
I couldn't feel anything, and I didn't know what was going on with me. Like I really thought I was going crazy. And I was like, man, like what is going on? Like I don't want to talk to nobody. Like if I do talk to somebody, I can't feel nothing. And I was like, man, like what is this? And so just, it really was a long process, and I just was trusting God through that process. And I feel like he was putting me through that so my faith can strengthen in him, because that's what I prayed for.
Yeah,
I was like, let me, like, allow me to love people how you love them. Allow me to, like, you know, allow my faith to strengthen in you. And sometimes we pray for those things, we might think, like, it's going to be an easy route.
Yeah,
but no, it could be something like that. And it's all for the better of, like, our good. So, yeah, it was an ongoing process, and I was like, at that camp, like, I was starting to, like, actually feel, like, things again, like, having this love and all of that. I was, like, starting to love people and see people how Jesus sees people. And I was like, man, so, yeah, it was a process. It was an ongoing process, but it was a good one. Like, I always think about this picture I saw on Instagram. It was, like, your plan. It was, like, a straight line. And it was, like, God's plan. It's, like, a zigzag line. It's, like, it's all over the place. So, yeah, like, and I feel like that's a good example of how, like, the Christian life could look sometimes like,
oh, absolutely.
You can fall, you can get back up. Like it's just all over the place, but we got to stay the course. We got to remain in him. Yeah. So
that's why I love the picture of through the valley, because not only is it one valley, but oftentimes it's multiple valleys.
Multiple,
and
yeah.
In between those, sometimes there's mountaintops. Like you said, it's just like
it's just a lot,
a journey. Yeah. But the common thread is God's grace and faithfulness through it. And we depend on him to show that, like you said earlier, when you look back, you know now it's him carrying you through all that, even through the process. I even think just your experience at the Young Life camp, kind of plugging away from technology for a bit, being around the people who God put there, hearing their stories, and God uses that
to
encourage us. Like, we need other people.
We do.
Especially in the body of Christ. Like, we need to be sharing these testimonies with each other.
Yeah.
And even like what you're doing now, like how it will impact somebody who's listening to this, you know? So we need that, because the one thing that is so debilitating about like depression or anxiety is you feel alone.
Yeah.
You feel like no one can ever understand you.
Yep.
And granted, like nobody will have the same exact experience you're having. But, you know, even as Christians, we need to be open that
we
go through this,
you
know, and like you said, it's a process. It's not like you just wake up the next day and you're snapped out of it. For me, there's been seasons, you know, where I go in and out, but I agree. Like, it's through that God teaches me to depend
on him.
So that camp, those camps were kind of instrumental. So at this point, was it last summer, you're coming back into school. I know, at least for me, this is me, it doesn't just go away. Sometimes there's days or periods where I kind of feel more depressed or lean more towards anxiety. So coming off of that camp and falling into this past year, kind of how's that been just with your experience?
Yeah, it's been a struggle. Like you said, there'll be days where like literally I feel like so depressed, and sometimes it depends on like if it's raining and stuff, which I hate the weather, like it just makes me feel so sad and depressed. But yeah, it was a challenge, like getting back on campus, being away from the camp, because you know, like going to those camps, you'd be on like such a spiritual high, and then when you get down, like coming down, like it just goes away sometimes. So for me, I was like, getting on camp, I was like, okay, like how can I continue to like, you know, feel the Lord on campus? Like, how can I bring him on campus? And how can I continue to remain in the word? Because sometimes it gets hard when we like come back from those camps, because it's easy to talk about God and be faithful around like God's people and all that stuff. But, like once you get back on campus and stuff, like it's hard because it's like probably like the people you're surrounded with, they probably trying to pull you back into the world. So it can be easy to just fall back into like sin and stuff. And for me, like I was remaining like in the word daily, and then like I was just having some days where I was like, dang, man, why do I feel like depressed again? Like I thought it was over. Like just those same doubts and stuff like that. But I was like, you know what? Like you said, I just was like reminding myself, like, it's a process, you know? And like sometimes like we might feel like that again. Like sometimes we might feel that depression and stuff again, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. That doesn't mean that, you know, you're finna go back through the same things again, right? You know? And so I had to just like actually believe that, like, yeah, like I can feel like this, but like I know if God saved me from all of that the first time, like he could bring me up again. And so, and it'd only be like short times for me. Like I'll have like, it'll be like just a night or something, like that I just feel depressed. And the next day I'm fine, you know, like for that week straight, I'll be good. And then it'll be like just sometimes it just hit out of nowhere. It'd be like, dang, I just feel so depressed. Like, especially going through this injury that I had recently.
Yeah. It's tell just, us about that.
Yeah. That. So I had meniscus repair March 8th, and I was on crutches for about 6 weeks. And it was just difficult, man, because like, I always like to do stuff myself, and it's always hard to ask me for, like, ask people for things and stuff. So, and I feel like God was like telling me like to like rely on others, you know, like, you know, you need help sometimes, you know, just just be relaxed and like actually it let people help though. You. Yeah. And so on those crutches, man, just going to class and everything, it was just a struggle, like, and just not physically but mentally, because I was just like, man, like, I'm not going to be the same as I was, like, physically, like, playing and stuff like that. Just those doubts again coming in.
This
like,
injury happened mid-season, right? You're about to go into, like, the tournament. Yeah, and you couldn't play. Yeah, so that kind of
went down, I missed, like, the last 7 games. And then after that, I was like, man, like, why do I actually... I started having doubts again. I was like, man, why, God? Like, why am I actually going through surgery again, this process again? And mentally, I was like I already knew like he had a plan for me, and it was his plan for like that to happen. But then again, I was like, just why did it have to happen, you know? And it was just hard. Like it would be some days where I didn't eat because it was hard for me to get food. I didn't eat all day. It was just so depressing, and like it really just bugged me to like ask people things. But then I was like, you know what? Let me just actually ask, you know? Because just growing up, fun fact, like, growing up, when I always, like, asked for things and stuff, people just used to get my hopes up. And then it never turned out the way they said it would. So, and I still struggle with that. That's why sometimes it's still hard for me to ask people for things. Because, like, some people say that, they'll say they do it, and then I'll be like, okay. Then it don't
turn out. So you kind of learn to be more independent to do things for yourself.
And so, like, just going through that surgery, it was hard to not be independent. Like, I
had God was crushing your independence.
I had to actually depend on people. So, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I thank God for that, because everybody that I depended on, like, they actually came through. And that just, like, let me know, like, everybody's not the same. And I was like, dang, man. So God was really teaching me a lot, like, patience and everything. But, yeah, like, I was sometimes like, feeling down and stuff and depressed. But then, like, even when I felt like that, I was like, no, like, let me pray and let me go to God, you know, because this is just a phase. Like, that's what I just tell myself, which is, like, everything is temporary. So I was like, you know what? This is just a temporary feeling. I'm not going to feel like this forever. And sometimes just having that thought, like, just thinking like that will help. Because if you just, the mind is so strong, man, that's what I tell people. If you just really think that it's going to end and you're not going to get better, then you really will feel like that.
Start to believe it.
You'll start to believe it. So I was just telling myself, I was fixing those negative thoughts, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to be all right.
Yeah.
I will be.
Yeah, I think about that. You talk about the mind. You know, Paul, in Romans 12, he says that, you know, we shouldn't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I think, how often do I need my mind renewed? It's like every day. So I need the gospel every day. But then you're talking about, you know, telling yourself it's momentary. And for me, a transformational point was when I was reading 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 4, Paul says that all our trouble was light and momentary compared to the eternal weight of glory that's coming. And therefore we walk by faith and not by sight. And it was that really switched it for me, because it's, yes, in the moment I mean, it feels awful. It feels like you can never get out of it. It's like there is no light at the end of the tunnel. But mm-hmm. we need that hope with the gospel that God has put his glory in jars of clay, you know, and even though I feel depressed or anxious sometimes, you know, it doesn't change the fact that he has saved me. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much about, you know, being cured from something for the rest of our lives. Rather, it's sometimes he'll bring us back through those seasons. You know, I think about your injury.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, that was probably a time where you were pretty laid low. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think of Job. You were reading Job at yep. the time.
Mm-hmm.
And learning even about how he was brought low. And yeah. how that made him depend on God.
It was crazy, man. And like, I think another thing for me too, that clip, because I don't think I actually told like you this, but when I was going through that and like getting back into the word, like God was like speaking through me, and I actually had a vision, which was so crazy. Like I was just laying in my bed, and then like I thought I was like, I felt like I was asleep, but I had woke up and I was like still in my bed, and I was like, I couldn't move and stuff like that. I was like, wait, what's going on? And then like, it was crazy, because I still remember to this day, it was like, I saw like a serpent, like a snake, just in a room. And I was like, nah, and I got scared. And then all I heard was a voice. It was like, look, you're going to be all right. Trust me. And I woke up. That was it.
Yeah.
And I still remember that to this day. And I'm like, man, like, that was God telling me. Because like, I was like trying to get away from the enemy, like fearing the enemy. And we shouldn't fear him. Because like, God gave us dominion over him. And he's already defeated. And like, God really was there telling me, like, I got you.
Yeah. I think about like if, you know, if God's for us, who can be against us?
Mm-hmm.
And Paul in Romans 8, he goes on later to say, you know, like nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, that's comforted me so much because it rests only on his power and his grace.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that like you and I are still here, yeah. been through those things, you know, even are able to look back on it now and have the perspective
mm-hmm.
like you do, is proof that God's got you. Like, he's not going to let you be snatched out mm-hmm. of his hand.
Yep.
At times it feels like that, you know, that we're being snatched out of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing could ever separate us, which is, I mean, talk about hope, comfort.
For real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, talking about the injury, and that specifically relates to basketball, being mm-hmm. a student athlete. And I just wanted to kind of turn uniquely to the fact that you are a student athlete mm-hmm. and that there are some unique pressures on student athletes, especially at the collegiate level,
yeah.
and mental health. So mm-hmm. I would wonder if you had even just could share some experience about being a student athlete and mm-hmm. how that relates to mental health, or maybe some unique pressures you've faced.
Yeah, so it's hard being a student athlete because you got to like give your time up for so many things, like classes, meetings, practice, games, and all of that. But it's fun, but like you have to love it in order to do it,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes that can take a toll on you mentally. Because you can just be doing so many things and you don't have time to actually sit down and rest.
That's true.
Or sit down and read the word. And like, as for me, if I don't abide in the word, my mental health can go bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so just as for me, I have to do that. And like, for other athletes that's out there, like, that's a big part. Like, you should like abide in the word so your mental health will go down. But yeah, it is hard, like, being a student athlete. It can take a toll on you mentally, because I know like last year, just over the past years, there's a lot of athletes that like took their own life,
yeah,
because they just felt like they were alone going through depression. And as an athlete and stuff, just growing up, like for me, I was always like taught to, you know, suck it up, like don't show your emotions and stuff like that. And so I know some athletes that just felt like they can't show their emotions and they just have to suck it up. Some just feel like they like a basketball player, like that's them, that's their identity.
Yep.
And when your identity get tied into something like that, mm-hmm. it just goes bad from
there. And then it's kind of like an injury.
Mm-hmm.
You can strip it away.
You just strip it away.
Yeah, a whole season, you know, like this could have been big for you.
Mm-hmm.
So then if it's all tied up in that identity, that's taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hear a lot about people with jobs too, when they put all their identity in their career
and work,
and they get laid off.
Then it's like, dang.
You know, then a lot of people, they end up, they take their life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real, you know?
It is.
So I almost think of, I call you guys, you have like two full-time jobs. You're a mm-hmm. student and you're an athlete.
Yeah.
And it is a lot because you have practice every night, games where you're performing.
Mm-hmm.
Even the performance element of it, like the ups and downs mm-hmm. of that, Like, I mean, how does that relate even to, like, the mental health?
Yeah, so for me, like, performing, like, on the court, like, it's a lot. Like, people, it's fun, but just running up and down the court, just sprinting, like, getting bumped, hit, all of that stuff. Like, after the game, I just be feeling left drained physically. And, like, I don't be feeling like doing nothing. So when I be feeling like that, it just makes me become, like, lazy, mm-hmm. not want to read, not want to do anything. And then just getting in that state also, like, affects me, like, mentally, too. Like, I just be, like, so drained that my mind just don't even feel like it's here. So, like, that taught me to just performing at a high level like that. That really just taught me to keep, like, your body in good shape for real. Like, because I know, like, after some games, I felt energized, and that's because I did what I needed to do before the game. So rest and all of that stuff too. And rest is important. Like, it also tells, it also says in the scripture, I think Jesus was telling, I forgot what it was, but after the disciples came back and he told them to rest.
To rest after they did the ministry,
Because, like, they were performing, like, to be honest, for him, you know, they were walking around discipling and evangelizing, and they retired. So rest is an important key. And so for me, just resting before and after the games, like, that helped me mentally and physically. So
yeah, that's important. Rest, I found that that's a key theme. Yeah, if I'm busy all the time, I'll get more anxious. It's just because I feel like I don't have control over my day. And I think we were talking yesterday about, like, rest, and God gave us time to rest.
And
we should use that. And I think of Jesus in Matthew 11, he says to come to him, all who labor and are heavy laden, he will give us rest for our souls. And that's good news for us, is that, you know, I know even, like, as an athlete, you feel like you got to perform all the time and
not rest,
keep up this image and this reputation, you know. But rest is so important, and resting in the right places, resting in Christ. Well, kind of thinking just on a college level, maybe to your peers, you know, you're a senior, you're about to graduate, you'll be around for another year, but thinking about your life a year or two ago and where it was at, you know, there's probably people sitting in your shoes where you were. So what would you say to them, having walked through these valleys of your own, what would you say to someone who may be going through something?
Yeah, I would just say trust in God. And I know, like, it may be hard, but just trust in God and be still, because Jesus feels what we go through. Like, he knows our whole life already. God knows our whole life since we were in the womb. So, like, he know we were going to go through depression and stuff like that, which is crazy, but he knows that. But I just, like, advise them to, like, just be still and trust in the Lord, and that, like, greater days are going to come. Seriously. Like, they are going to come. Like, nothing is going to be everlasting, eternal. Like, and that's what I thought. I thought everything, depression, like, and all of that, I never was going to come out of that. But, like, God is so gracious. And I just want to remind him of that. Like, he's so gracious, compassionate, merciful, and powerful. Like, there's nothing he can't do.
Yeah.
Literally, like, he can do anything. Like, he created us. Like, he knows us. He knows, like, every inch on our body. Like, he knows everything. And, like, that's what I learned through that time. Like, just seeing how powerful he is, like, man, it still gives me chills, because I even thought God couldn't save me. But he did. And God can save you. Like, if you're going through this, like, he will save you. Like, he tell us, I forgot what book, I think it was in 1 Peter or something. He tell us, like, that he's going to save us and continue to save us. Like, he's going to continue to bring us up through affliction. And that's why I'm telling you, like, keep fighting, keep remaining in the word, keep staying faithful, because it will pay off. It will. Like, we will have a reward for that, which is eternal Christ, you know, eternal life. I mean, eternal life in heaven. So I just advise them to just be still. And that means put aside, like, your ways, take captive of your thoughts, and just put aside your ways and just rest in the Lord. Like, trust the Lord, believe in him.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing he can't do. Like, he never breaks a promise.
Yeah. Amen. I think if he has saved me from my sin, my sin in Christ, he paid the highest price to save me eternally, then yes, you know, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, he's with me. You know, like, even though I go through these circumstances, if I know that he has paid the ultimate price for my eternity, then he, like you said, mm-hmm. he knows you your all your days. Mm-hmm. And he made everything. You in the womb. And if you are in Christ, then all your days from, you know, from the womb to the tomb are in his hands.
Yeah.
And anything you walk through in between, he's teaching you to rely on him, to mm-hmm. depend on him. And like Job, I mean, there are times when life just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Job, for like didn't 40 understand. Chapters, mm-hmm. is like, why,
he didn't
why?
Understand anything. He didn't know. Yeah, and we don't know. Like, those 40 chapters could have been like 40 years, like 40 months. Like, you never yeah. know. It could have been weeks. Like, yeah. like, and that's why I'm going to say, too, like, just God's timing. Like, sometimes, like, God's, like, you just got to just be patient and trust in him, because sometimes his timing don't, you know, don't be what we want.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's not what we want, it's what he wants. That's why I'm saying, like, being patient and trusting him, because for me, like, I was going through that. All glory to God. I only went through that for like a year and a half, like that deep depression when I was in the mm-hmm. bottomless pit feeling like that. And for some people, it may be 3 years.
Yeah.
And I just want to let them know, like, it don't matter how long it is, it will end. Like, God will save you. You're going to come out of that stronger mentally and physically, but most of all, your relationship with God is going to be way much stronger. Like, and your faith in him is going to be way much stronger. And you're going to know, like, if you ever, like, go through anything like that again, your faith is so strong in him, it's not going to faze you. You're going to be like, oh, I know he got me.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And I think the importance, too, of having community around you, mm-hmm. strong brothers and sisters in Christ, who you can be honest with. You yeah. know, it's so easy to play the church game.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I've done it before. I've sat yeah. in the pew and I'm depressed or, you know, mm-hmm. had anxiety the day before, the week before, and
yeah.
it's easy just to go in, slip out, not yeah. tell anybody.
It is.
And there's risk involved with that, because you wonder, what is this person going to think mm-hmm. if they know? Especially, you talk about performing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, being in ministry, for mm-hmm. me, it's like you think, what would people think if they knew I struggled with this?
Yeah.
Because it's just so tempting to keep up that image.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I think of Paul's example. He said, you know, I despaired of life itself, and he wasn't afraid to show off his sufferings mm-hmm. in Christ. All of 2 Corinthians is him saying, I suffered for Christ, and I boast in my sufferings and my weakness, because I know that when I'm weak, he's strong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only by his grace. His grace is sufficient
mm-hmm.
for us.
Yeah,
that's so true.
It is.
God often uses other people, though, to help us depend upon
mm-hmm.
him. So that's just a thread that I picked up even in your story.
Yeah. Was that in 2 Corinthians when he was talking about despairing of life?
Yeah.
So that's what it was, 2 Corinthians, because he also says, like, even after he was going through all that affliction and despair of life, he also said that, like, they made him rely on God.
Yep.
Because he couldn't rely on his own strength.
What else could he do?
Like,
you know?
He can't do nothing. Yeah. Like, and that's when he was like, God will pick you up and continue to pick you up. So, yeah, that was 2 Corinthians, not 1 Peter. I don't know where my mind was at. I was talking about
something. Hey, you got the scripture in your heart, you know. So. Yeah.
But, yeah, like, that was a big, like, key to my testimony. Because when I read that, I was like, wow, like, the disciples, like, they went through stuff worse than we did.
Yeah.
Like, despair of life. Like, I felt like that. Like, I was despairing of life. You got to rely on God's strength. Like, it felt like Paul was literally, like, talking about what I was going through.
Mm.
And I feel like God, like, just wanted me to read that so I could see, like, you know, like, even man of God go through this. Like,
yeah.
Christians go through this.
Man, like, when I look at scripture and I see every person who, you know, is faithful mm-hmm. to the Lord, they're broken people and they go through lots of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what's amazing about that is God used 2 Corinthians and Paul's life and his weakness to encourage you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the power of scripture.
Yeah.
But also it's the power of just our testimony, mm-hmm. you know, that your story can impact people in that same way
yeah.
to be that line of hope to them
mm-hmm.
to show that, hey, there is hope
yeah.
and it's in Jesus. And
for sure.
Yeah, though we go through all these things, and who knows what, I mean, like, you're still young, you know, yeah. it's like, who knows what life has ahead.
Nobody, yo.
And I'm sure there are older saints who mm-hmm. are in their 60s and 70s who look back on all their life
yeah.
and they're like, man, God is still faithful.
So faithful.
And it's so encouraging for me too,
because mm-hmm.
we still have a lot of life, Lord willing, ahead of us.
Yeah, we do.
So I assume that's a lot of valleys mm-hmm. and mountains that we're still going to walk through.
Yeah, walk through and overcome, for
yep.
sure.
But like Paul, he said, I forget what's behind, and I look forward to what's ahead.
Yep.
The upward call in Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
know that one day we're going to be with him forever. It's like, man.
And I feel like just Paul saying that, and also in the Bible it says, like, the focus, like, just think eternally, eternal thoughts, not worldly things. So, like you said, just keeping your focus ahead, you know, not behind. I just feel like just remaining, like, having an eternal mindset instead of having a worldly mindset, like, would help a lot for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Man, I appreciate you being open and honest and sharing this.
For sure.
I know that people listening are going to be impacted by it. And, you know, I pray that God uses this in a big way.
Yeah, me too.
Why don't we just spend time to end in prayer? Why don't you pray over just a conversation we had, but also for anybody who may listen. Yeah.
All right. Dear God, just thank you for allowing us to wake up and get a chance to just share our story, Lord God, with depression and mental health, Lord God. I pray that you can use this for your glory, not for our glory, Lord God, because it is not by us, Lord God, that we don't need to receive glory, Lord God. We're doing this for you, Lord God, and honoring you, Lord God. And I just pray that whoever's listening to this, Lord God, that this can impact them, Lord God, that you can pierce their heart, Lord God, and that you can dig deep into their heart, Lord God, and save them, Lord God. Whatever they're going through, Lord God, I just pray that you can just save them from that and let them know that they're not lost, they're not too far gone, Lord God, and that there's nothing you can't do, Lord God, but it's what you can do. And I pray that they know that they don't need to do good, they don't need to do anything to earn, Lord God, because it's given, it's a gift, Lord God. So I just pray that you just let them know to rest and be still in you, Lord God. And Lord, just thank you again for us just being here again to talk about you and how gracious and compassionate you are. Thank you for sending Jesus down here, Lord God, on earth to die for us, Lord God, to die instead of us and to die for our sins, Lord God. And we just really thank you for that, Lord God. And I just pray that we just know, Lord God, that we should surrender our life to you because you gave Jesus, your own son, Lord God. You gave his life for us, Lord God. And so I just pray that we can continue to love you, Lord God, and keep all your commandments and pick up our cross daily and follow you and Lord God and just remain in you so we can continue to be fruitful and evangelize and disciple, Lord God. And we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Trez. And
thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. And we'll catch you next time on Through the Valley.
Yes, sir.
Hey, if you've been enjoying this podcast, I'd really appreciate it if you left a rating or a review on whatever platform you're listening to, whether that's Spotify, Apple, or Google. You can also, on Spotify, reach down to the mailbag, drop me a question, and I'll address that in a future episode. Or more generally, you can reach me at throughthevalleybook@gmail.com with comments, questions, or a story you'd like to share. Thanks again so much for the support and for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.